We'll call the regular city council meeting of September 10th to order. Please call roll.
Bronson?
Here.
Mallory?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
Kuchar?
Here.
O'Brien?
Here.
Kukuski?
Here.
Johnston?
Here.
Okay, Brett, would you leave us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To approval of agenda and receive and file all communications.
You forgot all the comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip over comments. Purely unintentional. This is time for public comments. If you wish to address council, please come to the podium and introduce yourself.
I'm Susan Cayley, and I have one question and one comment. I am interested in where the process is in the Lincoln Bridge, the repainting of it. That's my question. And my comment is, the last time I brought up about having another, the fifth parts, auto part place coming to Sheboygan, I think, Mark, you said that, well, if they've done the research and they want to come in town, that we're not going to stop them. And I went home and I did a lot of thinking about that. And I thought, five auto part stores within a mile is a lot. And does that contribute to where we're going with Main Street and what we want to present as a community? And other communities turn away million-dollar projects because they're too high or too whatever, and they don't meet the needs of the community. And I just want you to know about my comments. So, but I am interested in where the bridge painting.
All right, we'll have Tom address that in this manager's report.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm Molly Thomas. I'm a resident here, and I just wanted to stand up and thank Kirk Jones and his men addressing the plight problem in our town. And I had a blight issue in my neighborhood, and they were out there, and progress has been slow, but it has been made by the resident. And I just want to encourage them to keep up the good work. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ray Lawford, good evening, Mayor, Council, Mr. Uses. I think I want to talk a little bit about the light. But we have an ordinance that I think should be enforced more than what it is. Now, I just want to pick, I've been saying this for a long time, is curb appeal for Sheboygan is very important. I know every single person here must go up and down the main street, and we'll talk at the entrance to Walgreens. I mean, that sidewalk, I mean, is almost has bushes growing on the curb. Now, I know that belongs to the city, but there must be at least a half a dozen businesses, and I'm going to pick on the big box, Walgreens. That's the only name I'm going to mention. Walgreens is bad. Walmart is bad, and a lot of other ones. Now, we just had the big box store come in, AutoZone, and in 2 days or 3 days, they had beautiful landscape put in. But then it goes away the following year. So I'm just saying that maybe there should be something that an individual in the community that's concerned about shouldn't have to come in front of you all the time and say, hey, come on, let's do something about our pride. let's acknowledge something in a two or three form documentation. The clerk or Tom's secretary, I don't know if that's Mrs. Gann or what it is. And I don't think it's got to be an individual. I think it could be one of Chief Jones' people, anybody from the DPA or the water department can write something up and it can be sent out. We have pride in our community. Please take care of your sidewalk or blah, blah, whatever it might be. I don't think that's a big effort. But I really think that if the main street Sheboygan is going to continue to grow and be beautiful, I can't believe it's only in Mrs. Lofgren's eyes and my eyes. It's got to be in a lot of people's eyes that it's pretty rough. Tom, 2 years ago, took care of the weeds and other little trees alongside of the, you know where I'm going to talk about, Tom?
Yep.
By the hospital. We're not even going to see the river pretty soon. It's going to be weeds. I don't understand why there can't be some kind of environmental friendly reason we can't put something on those rocks. We pull them out, and I'm only saying that because of 10 to 13 years now, across the river, on the other side of the dam, or same side of the dam of the river, is a beautiful 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pound limestone rocks that house the, I guess that's state land, is the top.
It is state land, yes.
And there's not a weed growing in there. Not one weed grows in there, year after year after year. I never see anybody picking weeds. So that's an issue I want to talk about blight. There has been things that I agree with Molly. I believe that Chief Jones has taken care of some things in my neighborhood that I have suggested that have been there long enough. But the simple thing of flowers and weeds, we like a little bit more curb appeal. I will like anybody that hasn't seen Walgreens sidewalk to see it tonight. That's all I can say about that. Number two, this is a little bit difficult, but there's a business in Sheboygan that is new, and they're growing fast, and they're a good asset to Sheboygan. They're going to be making some requests, and that is the Bishop family. The Bishop family from the GM and Cadillac dealership. They recently bought the Goldfront property that's across the road. Everybody that's coming into Sheboygan needs the help of every single person that's on it that could come to their agenda. We don't want to hear bad language coming from any person on the board. Those comments should be kept to yourself, and if we're biased of something, we shouldn't vote negative or for it. We should accuse ourselves. That's all I want to say about that.
Anyone else? If not, I'll close public comments. And now we'll move on to approval of the agenda and receive and file all communications.
I'll move to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications.
Second.
Motion by Johnson, seconded by O'Brien. Approve the agenda and receive and file all communications. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of prior meeting minutes, regular City Council meeting minutes, August 27th, 2019.
I'll move to approve the regular City Council meeting minutes of August 27th, 2019 as presented.
Support.
Motion by Johnston, seconded by Temple. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll now move into public hearing. I'll declare the public hearing open. That is time for people in the audience to come and speak to council. We will then close the public hearing, and then it's time for council to discuss it. Once the public hearing is closed, we won't take any more discussion from the public. It'll be only council members discussing. So I will now open the public hearing. If you wish to address council, please come to the podium and introduce yourself. Tom, are you having people sign in today, or is that just last night?
Just last night, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This is public hearing. You tell me what the public hearing is
for. Oh, I'm sorry. The public hearing, consideration of planned unit development for Hope Network Housing and Community Development, Sheboygan 1, LDHA, LP, located at 420 and 422 South Huron Street, Sheboygan, Michigan.
Mr. Mayor, Council again, Ray Loughran. I know very little about this project. Is there some way that a question and answer is supposed to happen between Tom and the podium? I don't quite understand the process of this
evening. Well, what we're talking about tonight is a request for a zoning variance for this piece of property. This piece of property is classified as an R1, which is the highest level of residential. And there's a request to build an apartment complex on that, so they need a zoning change. The Planning Commission has recommended that we offer this planned unit development, which affects only this piece of land and only for this project.
And what's the voting, the zoning, is it in here in the reading? What's it's being asked to be zoned for?
The PUD is in itself a new designation, which is a planned urban development, which is sort of an overlay.
Basically, yes, it is.
This piece of property, it's only this piece of property, and it does not carry if the piece of property is sold, it reverts to the original zoning.
So the zoning is going to be part of the PUD, PUD?
Yes.
It'll be part of the process, and it really won't get rezoned to planned unit development until all requirements are met and the project is approved in its entirety.
Okay, and then do I understand it becomes multiple housing at that time?
If we approve the PUD, then you're allowed to go ahead with that project.
Yes.
Good evening, Sharon Lane. I just wanted to offer up, having spoken last night extensively at Planning Commission, I do have, if you care to have them, some nice printed visuals. I'm not sure how much of this actually ended up being hard copy, so I wanted to offer them of the development plat map and also a drone aerial footage shot of the area. So I don't know if they may be helpful for you as you continue to discuss. With the full visuals.
I think that was in our package.
So everybody should be good. I just want to make them available if possible. And then also just to reiterate how excited we are to, I think, be a community in the forefront for a positive outcome for Sheboygan. So often since I've moved here, we've talked and I've heard people say, well, Gaylor got that one. Rogers City just won that one. Alpena's got another one. Boyne City, wow, what's going on over there? And so for Sheboygan to be one of the selected few communities to have an opportunity like this is really exciting. And I wanted to thank many, many people who I see faces in the audience who have facilitated in the last 14 months. And you all who allowed me to continue to talk to you over that course as well, keeping you abreast of what's developed, that we're almost to the point of giving it a really great shot. And that's exciting. So thank you very much.
Are you part of Hope?
Absolutely not. Actually, for this project, I'm a member of the CEDG, the Sheboygan Economic Development Group. And so when Hope came to town, there's a gentleman that developed, he built the library, and he also built one of the credit unions, Craig Fragette. He was working with Hope Network. They're building currently a housing development both in Alpena and in St. Ignace. And Commissioner Rich Sangster was at a meeting of development, and he said, you know, things are happening in Sheboygan, Craig. Do you know of anyone who's building? And at that point, Craig said, I certainly do. I'm working with a woman who's building housing. And so their meeting happened. They came to town 14 months ago, and the Hope team met with Mayor Bronson. They met with Sherry Schultz from the hospital, Scott Hersig, Scott Beard, Jim Convoy, Tom Eustace, the president of the school board administrators, the sheriff, Jeff Wasson and many others in the community to begin their exploration. And then over the last year, what's transpired is a really in-depth analysis of whether or not Sheboygan could feasibly bring in a project of this nature. And so much work has been done in my role in that as a CEDG member and also many others. Scott, Missy Cosidi actually is just a volunteer in the community. Roger Kupernick also on that board. And Jerry Malloy, we've all just tried to help them connect with what they need on the ground to make sure that we are considered for this opportunity. First phase is a $7 million new development, and there is a possibility through MISHTA to build further should the community and Hope decide to move ahead. So no, not a hope, just a community volunteer trying to make some stuff happen. I'm not on anybody's payroll but my own.
That's exactly what I wanted to know, if you're being paid for your
money. No, not at all. I'm not even being paid at my own restaurant. I was just came here from tended bar.
Mr. Mayor, I should have asked, is Hope here?
The lead architect is behind her. Yeah.
Well, I recognized you when you came in. Is she going to be here? Or what's her
name? Virginia Roman will not be here tonight.
There's just photos.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, everybody.
Mayor, if you will, I can explain this entire project in briefly. Just have some slides, please. Just so the public understands what this project's all about and what we're trying to do here tonight. Hope Network is proposing building 40 units. What's up on the screen right now is an apartment complex, three-story. There's going to be 26 units in this apartment complex, which is low to moderate income housing, affordable housing. These complexes are for working class people that basically are struggling to pay rent, and this is a program that's run through MISHTA. MISHTA will provide loan money for Hope Networks for this project so that it can be successful. There's also 40 townhouse units, or excuse me, 14 townhouse units. This is a west elevation of one of the townhouses. They will be, these are two-level townhouse units, and they will be located on this property. This is Great Lakes Tissue over here. If you can see the arrow. Hope Networks has land control of this piece and this piece. This, you can't really see it, but this is on this corner right here is Judge Butts' house. And some of you are probably familiar with the Butts family home. On these two pieces will be the first phase of their project. It is zoned single-family residential right now. We're asking them to do a planned unit development. We have a planned unit development ordinance that they can follow. And through this process, if the council approves it, they will be able to apply for MISHTA loans to fund this project. Again, this is kind of a very small picture, but between Huron Street and Cottage Street is where that property sits. The Salvation Army sits across the street in this area. But this is the preliminary site plan, and again, this is just a rezoning request so they can develop this project and get funding to do this project. In here, there will be 8 townhouses along Kyler Street, parking in the center. This complex here is a 26-unit apartment complex, three-story, and then there are 6 townhouses along Huron Street on this side. And again, on this corner piece is Judge Butts' home. This is Seymour Street. This is the first phase of the project. It's very high-quality construction. And again, it is for low to moderate income individuals, but working class individuals that will be renters of this facility. At this point, and there's some other processes that we have to go through, but at this point for this public hearing, we are considering developing this project under a planned unit development, which is the best way for the city and the investors to manage the development of this project. We have a little more say in the project if we do a PUD instead of just rezoning that residential multifamily. And Hope Network and Julie Campbell are certainly willing to work with us so that this gets developed into a quality project. So that's important. It's a necessary development. We lack this type of housing in our community. So it is a very viable project for our community. And at least I am in support of it going forward. They're going to invest over time. This project is near a $7 million project, but over time, Hope is going to invest between $20 and $25 million. So that's all I got. I hope that clears up. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mandy Martin. I'm the Executive Director of Chilean County Habitat for Humanity. And I had no idea what I was going to say, but when we were talking about this project and how many units are going to be in phase one, Habitat in Chilean has existed for 25 years this year. In that 25 years, and I should say this, we are funded from our restore and community support. We don't get governmental funding, or to get some grant funding. But in that 25 years, we've built 40 homes in this community. In 2 or 3 years, we can have 40 homes. We're taking us 25 years. We have 40 more units coming to our town. We are in complete support of it. I listened to the comments from last night, and everybody's got input. Everyone has their opinion. At the end of the day, we need more housing across multiple income spectrums, and Habitat is completely in support. It will make our lives in the housing world a lot easier because we have a little bit more flexibility. There's more places for people to live. It's a really great thing, and we're just very much in support of it.
Good evening, I'm Steve Brissa. I live on Tyler Street. My wife Lisa and I have owned our home for 19 years there. We are among the nearest neighbors to this development. We're directly across the street from where the townhouse units that Tom spoke of are to be built. From what we know of the project so far, we are fully in support of it. We think it will be an asset to the community and our neighborhood.
Housing that we have provided in the city of Sheboygan, including the programs that I administer, which are both 100% federally funded. So this model using LIHTC is the most equitable model that there is out there using both public and private resources. So I hope that the council will join me and other people who work in housing to give support with the community and with the pilot team.
Hello, I'm a business owner in town, and
So I just wanted to speak to the importance of removing barriers to housing. There is significant research in the housing, whether it be mobility, perception of inadequate housing, eviction, housing conditions, have positive association with internal health, including depression, mainstream psychological health, which also impacts physical health. So we know that there's a huge amount of community in the community, and there are studies to suggest that any mental health policy put in place will be less effective without common part of the same policy. So as a mental health provider in our community, I am totally in support of increasing access to housing for
Mark Krasnowski, and I own Great Lakes Fishing, the largest chunk of property across the street from the government. And I want to start off by saying I'm extremely supportive of additional housing choice. And I believe that we're doing it right is very important. Before I say anything negative about the project, I will admit that I sold them the property for the project on. And like I said last night, half the people were there last night, it's another fundamental flaw of believing in a realtor, because I was told that this was going the next block over. They bought the co-op and the Whitson building, and they're going to tear them down. And I said, great, they're blight, get rid of them, and they needed this facility for a parking lot. And I went, great, I can contribute to that. I was wrong. And then I saw the development plan itself. And I realized that tonight you're not voting on the plan to say this is the right plan. But I wouldn't want anybody to leave this room saying, they voted on the plan, we're putting 40 units in, it's wonderful. I'm very not supportive of doing that. I think that living in northern Michigan, and the reason we're up here, is to be in an open area and have legitimate northern Michigan experiences. And taking and putting 40 units in a little tiny piece of property with no green zones, no play area, no playground, no opportunity for the parents to say to the kids run outside and play, except for the 25-foot grassy area in front that goes to Huron Street, is a mistake. I think if you do it right, meaning multiple families out back there is very good planning. But I wouldn't want people to leave tonight saying, yep, we approve these prints, because those prints are awful. And let me explain why I say that as a business person next door. First of all, the 25 feet from Huron Street, the sidewalk's going to Huron Street from the front door. Where do you think people are going to park? They're going to park on Huron Street. Okay? So now you're going to end up with stop sign traffic, parking, and you're going to have a parade on the 4th of July and reroute traffic through between two lanes of traffic. Okay, we can fix it. We'll make it all no parking on Huron Street. So where's the next most convenient place to park? Great Lakes Tissue, right across the street. That's going to end up being the parking lot for this development. And I'm not supportive of that. No parking lot.
You mentioned that. That's not what we're discussing.
Correct. I want to make sure that people aren't leaving tonight because there's a lot of people that think this is the plan, and once you say we're rezoning tonight, this is what it's going to be. Okay? All right, so I'll move on and do this quickly. Okay. I know I talked for way too long last time. Okay. Great Lakes Fishing is an industrial facility. We make noise. We have semi trucks. We have heavy equipment. There have been times that I've had 40 semis in my parking lot. Not regularly, but it's my flex area where I put them. And when that happens, the neighbor's two blocks away from me. Rightfully so. What's going to happen with 25 feet away? The plant has worked really hard to not have any holes. We have a paper plant in a downtown city of Florida. And rarely is it going to go there. And that's a golden light.
once in a while, like the water treatment plant, we haul out our garbage, our sewage, our waste treatment. And I don't say, I don't even want to be involved. And once you put 40 apartments and a couple hundred people right across the street from me, I'm saying that the complaints are going to come in of, gee, they're not very friendly over there. You need to understand they're going in for an industrial facility proximity. That's what it is. I'm not opposed to a multifamily building. No, I think it's a great idea. I think it needs to have room area, play area, parking space adequate, and absolutely don't say, oh, we'll wait for the next development plan for that to happen. Because we have a bad habit and a bad record in Sheboygan of doing phase two. You typically do phase one, maybe. And phase two tends to not quite happen. But phase one should have the infrastructure required for this development. It should have the park put in first. Not, we'll get to that in 10 years, or maybe never. Put that in your thought when you're approving it. But just approving it for multifamily, I'm totally in support of it. My recommendation is that they put about 10 units in it. That'd be phenomenal. The community would grow, they'd be supportive, they wouldn't change the neighborhood, you wouldn't have the right next door, you have the historical museum. You can deal with 10 families, not a big burden. You're going to put a couple hundred people there, where are the kids going to play at night? You're going to change the complete complexion of that neighborhood putting in 40 units. So if your plan passing tonight gives them the legitimate task of going out and saying, we want to get funding for 40 units, and then they come back and say, well, you approved 40 units, so that's what we have to do, I think that would be a mistake. But doing it as changing it to a multi-purpose instead of single, I'm supportive of that. And I hope that at some point we can come back and talk about what it should look like in that area. I'm very concerned about
that's
the construction
process.
Pardon?
That's a different process that
yes.
will have its own public hearing.
Thank you. That's what I'm waiting for, because that's the thing that I think is missing, is a recognition of that. That's the next process. We'll talk about that. And I'm very supportive of it from that perspective. Okay? Thank you.
Non-profit developments that we do, they're in higher quality than a lot of the market-based stuff that we
well, not the redevelopers are actually in it for the dollar. No. Nonprofits are in it for the missions and supporting their tenants. The noise concern, the factory is an existing, it's an existing company, it's an existing, it's existing in the community. There's already been a noise study done, and it's not a concern at all. So that shouldn't be an issue. You know, there's probably a noise ordinance here in Sheboygan, and if they're not,
in compliance.
In compliance.
In compliance with that, there should be an issue with noise. So those were just some of the things that I wanted to bring up tonight. If anybody has any questions about the project, you know, I'm available to ask and answer.
And last night from my notes, you had said something about LEED standards.
Right.
And that part of...
That's part of the quality and innovation.
Can you explain what that LEED is?
Yeah. All these MISTRA projects are required to meet a certain green criteria, whether it's LEED or Enterprise Green or the National Builders Association. So you have to use LED lighting, low-flow plumbing fixtures. You have to vent your exhaust fans out to the exterior. You can't just go to the attic space. You can't just circulate it in the unit. You have to right-size your heating and ventilation equipment. You have to use MERV air filters. There's just all kinds of criteria that you have to meet green requirements, energy efficiency. So it is really about quality and environment.
What about green space for children, as the previous speaker brought up?
The setbacks are 25 feet from the street, so there is space out there for the kids to go out and throw a football around, you know. It is more of an urban-type development right here. It is just outside of the downtown corridor. There are parks nearby, from what I understand. You know, I've seen some of them. So I really don't think it's going to be an issue. It's not like it's on the main street. It's mm-hmm. a side street. They're all side streets.
But you are talking about one-bedroom units, so the likelihood of a lot of children being
right,
in this space is limited.
Right.
Lisa Craig Brisson. I'm married to Steve, who was here earlier, but I didn't feel like he expressed our enthusiasm.
I feel you.
But also, I did want to address a couple of things that have come up in the conversation these last couple of speakers. We live in the house right across from that parking lot, and we have lived there 19 years. We've raised three kids there. We've never had a problem finding a place for the kids to play in the neighborhood, and it hasn't been that parking lot. So there's the trail is right behind us. There's big fields. There's a playground at Westside. There's a playground at Cornerstone. You know, there's the trailhead. There's plenty of space for kids in the neighborhood. It's a wonderful neighborhood. It's great. As several of you know, but you live in it. It's a great neighborhood. There's lots of families, you know, lots of different kinds of people, and it would be wonderful to have another set of neighbors. I literally sit on my front porch and stare at that parking lot I've looked at for 19 years of my life, trying to figure out what is a better use of that space than an empty parking lot with weeds growing in it. And it's been everything from habitat houses to a dog park to part of the museum. I mean, there's all these things that I thought about over there, but the idea of having actual people living there is just wonderful, in my opinion. It's a neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. And there's this big, you know, scar through the middle of this neighborhood because of these parking lots, and then we have some other abandoned buildings with broken windows and falling off siding. And just the thought that maybe this neighborhood, which is one of Sheboygan's assets, would be made whole, what a great thing. What a great thing to think about. So I get a little nervous about the density just because there aren't a lot of us there now, but
it's going to be great. It's going to be a wonderful thing for the neighborhood. It's going to be a wonderful thing for the community, and I can't wait to have neighbors across my street. So, thank you.
All right, one last call. If not, I will close the public hearing, and we will bring this back for discussion by council.
I'd like to first of all thank everybody for sharing their opinions on the project. I think this is the largest public hearing I've seen in my time on council, so that's exciting that everybody's passionate about this and excited from the sounds of it. Which I think speaks volumes as to what we as council should probably do.
That I can speak from a personal experience. My family's lived in that neighborhood since 1960. I don't ever remember going and playing at the mill. I mean, we played over where the trail is now. It's a railroad tracks, but we still played there. And I still live in that neighborhood, and I know there's other council members that live there. We're fortunate that we do not get much bypass noise from the mill. We have some trucks going up and down the street, but I haven't really experienced many issues with that at all. And I've been there long enough to remember when that was family housing in that parking lot, and the houses that were torn down to make parking. I'd love to see housing in there again.
Is this a discussion on the housing or the rezone?
This is on the rezone.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we need to rezone it.
Right. Yes. But it doesn't get rezoned once the project has to happen. This is the planned unit development, so it's basically a temporary overlay until the project starts, then it's permanent. Right? Until it sells.
Yeah.
Then it
yeah.
goes reverse.
In a nutshell.
And this is part of the application process.
It is, yes.
And how many people are in the competition for this money?
Oh, it's very competitive. I don't know the number, Mr. O'Brien, but it's extremely competitive, and you get points in the scoring of it. There's certain criteria you have to meet. You know, they need to be within, you know, a mile of, you know, the grocery store, and they need to be in a mile of public services, a public library, and they get points for all of those things. That's why this location was selected, because it is within a mile of many services. So they will score very high. They will be competitive with getting this funding.
So if they don't get the loan to build, will this stay industrial? I mean R1?
It'll stay as it is, and they will likely reapply again next year. If they don't get the funding, they'll just reapply next year.
So the PUD goes with the project. And if the project goes away, then the PUD goes away.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Is there another public hearing to discuss the actual details then of the project, or?
No. It still has to go through site plan review.
Right, okay.
Once through the Planning Commission, and then it'll come to Council for approval.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily have to be a public hearing. You said it had to be a public hearing.
Okay.
But,
no,
public
but there will be another discussion for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If there's no other discussion in council, what's the wishes of council?
I'll make a motion to approve the plan the PUD has presented.
Support.
Motion by Mallory, seconded by Johnston, to approve the planning and development
Please call the roll.
Kuchar?
Yes.
O'Brien?
Yes.
Kokoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes. All right.
Don't go far. Round two.
Now we'll move on to 7B, consideration of an ordinance to provide for payment in lieu of taxes pilot for a multiple family dwelling project for persons of low income to be financed or assisted pursuant to the provisions of the State Housing Development Authority Act of 1966 as amended. This a public hearing?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
Oh, it is.
Sorry. We're opening the public hearing. Now, will you explain what I just read?
Yes. with this project, they're requesting, Hope Networkers is requesting a payment in lieu of taxes versus ad valorem taxes. Ad valorem taxes are according to value, which most projects, for-profit projects, are done based on a normal assessed value, construction cost, less depreciation. They go on the ad valorem roll. Well, because of the tax credits that they need to receive to do this project, they're requesting a payment in lieu of taxes, which is allowable under this public act, where they will pay a percentage of the sheltered rent roll, which is basically just the rent rates less the water and sewer rates. This is Hope Networks will pay the water and sewer for their tenants. With the pilot, they will pay a percentage, and then they're requesting a 4% rate that is applied to the overall annual rent roll, which in this case is projected to be just over $9,000 in a payment in lieu of taxes. That's basically the worst case scenario.
Worst case for who?
For the minimum okay. that they could pay, basically.
All right, city.
Okay. Yes.
These funds are
to the city, good. Yes. Okay. So, yes, the minimum that we would receive. So, in payment in lieu of taxes, in this process, they can't, in the pro forma, they can't make this project work if they don't apply for payment in lieu of taxes. Normally, with this development, which is nearly a $7 million development, and if it went on the ad valorem roll, they could pay as much as $200,000 in taxes. Well, the rent roll is only going to be, for these 40 units, the rent roll is only going to be about $260,000.
$283,000.
Yeah, well, should be less the...
Give or take.
Yeah, $283,000 plus the vacancy and sewer and so forth. So you got to take, you got to minus
estimated, that.
Right? So it just doesn't work. If they're going to apply for this project, if they're going to get a loan for this project, they can't pay ad valorem taxes and charge the rents that they're going to charge for low to moderate income housing. So they're requesting a pilot. Which is considerably less than what they would pay in normal taxes. However, they can keep their rent rates down for and make affordable housing for people in our community.
When do those numbers get? When do they pick those numbers? Or is that already part of the project, that they have an estimation of what the two-bedroom or the one-bedroom or the three-bedroom townhouses are going to be for rent? What's the,
yes.
You know what I mean? Do they already know that? Is that part
yes.
of the...
Yeah, that's part of it.
You're coming up with numbers, so they already have to have that estimated at some level.
Yes.
Where they're going to go.
And they do a pro forma, and that's why they're requesting a 4% payment on the rent roll because it isn't going to work if they go higher.
Right.
So it's what they're saying.
Is that public knowledge? Because this is a pilot program,
mm-hmm.
is all of the details of the project become public as far as that goes? I mean, is that a question that I should ask?
Yeah, it is. It does become public. It's they're applying to MSHDA, which is a state agency, to get this funding. MSHDA does audit this entire project. The term of the loan and the pilot is related to the term of the loan. And once the loan is paid off, this goes on the ad valorem roll again. But while the loan is in place, they pay a pilot.
Which is the loan is estimated at how long, roughly? 30 years?
30 years, typically, okay. 30 to 35.
Okay.
Can be more than 50. But typically it's not a 50-year loan.
Are we privy to the interest?
I don't know what that is, Michael, but yeah, I mean, certainly.
Well, MSHDA sometimes has deals, so.
Sure, yeah. We would have to contact MSHDA for what that is, but yeah, they're typically low interest loans.
Right.
I wonder what a bank would give you.
This is the hardest part for me because, like I already told Tom, basically the city is going to lose money at this 4%. We would, you know, because that $9,000, that's not going to pay for maybe any extra lighting that we have to have, or road repair, or police, or fire. You know, that's just not going to pay for it. So you know, where I'm at, the decision is that extra housing going to outweigh that extra cost we have to take on? Or
and then all those indirect factors. So will this project raise housing values in the rest of our town? And how are we going to see that translate into taxable values? So, I mean, those are things that are
should this
hard
be
to
part
measure.
Of the council questions? We're sort of getting away from the public.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I kind of heard that.
Yeah, we should ask the public first, really.
Yeah,
but yeah,
well, they can ask those questions.
Yes, okay. There you go. Yeah.
Anybody?
Is it public hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, it's part B.
So I'm Kate Schultz. I work at the Housing Commission, and I just would like to echo what I said at Planning Commission last night, that the pilot payment is a direct function of the success of the residents of this building. So the better they do financially in terms of having a good paying job or full-time or close to full-time position, the higher rent they are going to be able to pay. So, Councilman Kuchar, you had a question about what rents will be set at for this building. And, you know, I'm sure it's in the application, but that is public information if you look up fair market rent. So if you go HUD fair market rent, you can type in your county, and that will tell you what fair market is for your county specifically for each unit size. So I'm not sure if they'll be at fair market because the entity will have the option to set it at or below fair market to keep it affordable for people. But it is, you know, the pilot payment is, like I say, the better people are doing, the more that property is going to be able to collect and rent. The more they collect and rent, the higher your pilot payment. So, like I said, I really like this model compared to what we have available currently. And it really is the best way to make sure that everyone is accountable for the success of our neighbors that need affordable housing, because the better they do, the more the city will be able to collect in property taxes. And the better they do, the more likely they are to participate in home ownership programs that Mandy offers, or that MSHDA offers, or that the Housing Commission hopes to eventually offer. So, you know, I don't really think losing money, because I don't know how much you're getting from the property right now. That has not been shared, so I don't know if it's fair to say you're losing money that you don't have. But as far as what you could potentially collect, the better the people there do, the better that pilot payment's going to be, and the better the people there do, the more likely they are to then graduate from renting into home ownership, and you'll be collecting property tax in that way, hopefully and eventually with the support of your housing leaders in the community.
Kate, because of the urgency of, you know, this decision or timing of it, can you give us an estimate of what the rent might be?
I'm not comfortable speaking to that because I don't work for Hope Network. So I can tell you that with the programs that I administer, just like a mortgage works, that no one wants to see a participant pay more than 30% of their income towards housing.
Right.
So it's based on income.
35%.
Right. So these are one-bedroom apartments. So let's assume that there's someone who gets a Social Security check for $600, which I know sounds extremely low, but there are people in Sheboygan living in $600 a month. And fair market rent that you can charge an affordable property is $550 a month. So if you are eligible for that rent subsidy, paying 30% towards rent alone, then you would be paying $200 a month, and instead of having $50 to live on, then you have a whole $400 to feed yourself and buy your medicine. So I can't speak to exactly what the rent amounts would be, but it's generally 30% of income, and I don't know what they're going to pay for utilities and things like that.
Okay. Thanks for your insight.
I had a question. We talked a week or so ago, and there was something that you had mentioned about changes at the federal level for public housing, that the federal government is getting out of building homes like they did in the past, or complexes.
That is correct. So before I speak to that, I just want to make it very clear for my existing tenants that nothing is happening with our public housing at this point. So everyone's housing is safe, but HUD has a stated goal of taking 150,000 public housing units offline. So they issued a notice last September that they wanted to be out of 150,000 public housing units within 18 months, which is March. So we are not affected right now. But they are working hard with public housing authorities like my office to try to get us a plan to get out of public housing and get into a more equitable model. Because, like I said, my programs are both 100% federally funded, and HUD is happy to provide subsidies for people who are struggling financially, like that $600 a month Social Security check. But being in charge of capital improvements on those buildings, ours were built all between 1962 and 1963, had a little progress with some updates in the 80s, but not much has been done to them since then. So the capital improvement backlog for public housing, including our own, is in the billions of dollars nationally. So HUD has tried to get out of owning physical properties, and that's where we got the low-income housing tax credit, which involves interest from private developers and private investors, so it's not 100% government responsibility.
So this fits into that plan, this project, move away from them owning and building all the property and getting private entities to have some...
Right, and you know, there's a lot of benefits to it because private entities are going to have a lot more site control, so... Not to give you the history of the Sheboygan Housing Commission, but those of you who are familiar with it and what we've been doing the last few years, there's not a ton of oversight from anyone. So private entities are a lot more likely to stay compliant with the program, more likely to stay compliant with the needs of the funding source. So there are many, many benefits to this type of model as opposed to what we have been offering. So I'm not saying that all of my tenants would be eligible to get into something like this, but if those who are working and able to achieve eligibility for this project could move into there, that would be helpful, and it would free up my office and our resources to offer things like transitional housing that the city knows is a need, because we don't have anywhere to put people who aren't eligible for private rental agreement. But again, our public housing right now is safe. No changes and no plans to change. But it is a stated goal that I will have to make a plan to change in the coming months.
Are they for sale?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't put that in the paper. thank you very much. And
thank
I do
you.
Hope you'll support the pilot because it will help this company help all these people.
Mr. Loft, just a minute. You take the, Mr. Councilman Coulter, the... annual rent income in the 100% category, $283,008 divided by 12 give you a monthly gross, I guess, of $23,584, and divide that by 40 units, and the average rent on that would be $589.60. That help?
Yeah.
That's fair market value. Fair market value on one bedroom in Sheboygan right now is $545.
So estimated market. There's fair market. There's an estimated rent that's established also. And this is just what the numbers are.
Whose estimate is that?
This is just the numbers. This is right here on the tax analysis, property tax versus the pilot program, and the estimated rent annual rent is $283,000. So you just divide it down on a monthly, you know, how much rent you receive a month and per unit, how many units. And sure, they're different costs for different one-bedroom to a three-bedroom. But it does establish something for tonight, at least, that we have.
I don't know that I would be comfortable taking those numbers into consideration.
Well, we have nothing else other than that. That's just a rough estimate.
We do have fair market rents, which is publicly available information.
Well, we don't have it this evening. I asked you to have that. We didn't have
it. You asked me to have it?
Yeah, I asked you what it might be. You couldn't share it with us. You weren't comfortable in sharing it with us.
Published by HUD. That's not my responsibility. Why would I share that? Anyone can look that up.
Yes, we understand that. But I asked when you could give it to us this evening. Can anybody give that to us this evening?
I did not take that from our conversation at
all. Okay, fine. Can anybody give that number to us?
I was meant to bring something.
I think it's a misunderstanding between both of you right here. Communication breakdown is off. He wasn't saying that you should have brought it with us to the meeting. He asked if you knew it offhand, and you didn't. So he's using what he has in front of him. It wasn't.
Yeah, and those rent roll numbers came from Hope Networks.
They came from Hope?
Yeah, and it's an estimate. I mean, it's not a concrete number. It's
right, and that's an estimate that I did, too.
Yeah.
Based on that estimate. Right? Does that help anybody? $589?
No.
I don't know.
Is that for all phases of the project or just phase one?
Just for the numbers I have in front of me on phase one. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we...
That's just the division of the rent roll total.
Yeah, right down to the, based on 40 units.
Divided by 40 units.
How much money they make annually per month.
Sure.
Yeah. Very rough.
Yeah.
But it is somewhere in the market. I would be surprised if it's too much higher than that or too much lower.
Right.
All right.
Go
away. Is this public hearing?
Yeah. Still in it.
I have a couple questions then as part of this.
Sure.
Are we talking about giving a tax abatement just for first phase, or is this carte blanche for the whole development?
First phase.
First phase currently.
And would the tax abatement for additional work be separately considered?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Going forward.
So this is on 40 unit first phase.
Okay. Not a tax abatement. Big difference.
It's a pilot program.
Yes.
You're avoiding the taxes of standard value.
Yes.
By a different program called a pilot program.
Yeah. Okay. So,
if someone's going to invest $7 or $8 million and can't pay their taxes, you ought to wonder why they're doing it. There's a lot of money here, and I have never seen any of these numbers of who is going to it or what's going on with it. But I want to just take for granted that this is all being done for just the good of the community. I've been here for 27 years. I pay an average of $150,000 a year in property taxes. And you're asking me to subsidize all the community services for this entity. And I'm not even necessarily opposed to that, but you really need to understand who you're giving the money to. Secondly, the ratio of the present value of an $8 million and then a $25 million facility, you should be looking at more than $1 million in taxes. And if you're going to write that all off for like $20,000, I think you really need to understand where that's going and why, and where this funding, and it's not a truistic nonprofit organization. There are people making money off the organization. The other comment that keeps getting made is we have to do this right now. We have to. And that makes me always think of every time you go to a timeshare conference
or a salesman or the car dealership, and they say, if you don't buy it right now, it's going to be gone tomorrow. You know, if this comes up again in 6 months, and sometimes the best thing you can do is say, let's make sure we get it right instead of just getting it done today, because this is not going to change once you approve it. My last one, believe it or not,
I do like to talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I was in line, but you go ahead.
Okay, I'll let Ray take over.
Thank you.
Clarence? Yeah. You know, Clarence is talking and he's already sold the property, so I'm a little bit worried about where the that situation is. But and Clarence mentioned he was here 27 years, and I've been here all my life, and I've been developing all my life, and I've never been in front of this board. I might have gone to a manager or some tax assessor maybe before Tom and say, hey, I'd like to have some understanding that my taxes might not be so much if it's the next guy. But now you're all facing something. Every taxpayer in Sheboygan, the city, you're asking them to subsidize Hope. Now, we do need housing. Ms. Schultz, she's probably talking wonders. She needs housing, too. But the question of the pilot is new to me tonight. I might have heard it a couple months ago when Hope was here talking, but I didn't realize what a pilot program was. Now, if it's this first phase, you know, maybe you can swallow that. But if a taxpayer in Sheboygan learns that he could be tied into a pilot for up to 50 years, as Tom mentioned, I don't understand that at all. Can't understand that at all. I have been here and listened to the board, not the same board that I'm looking at right now, but some of you, where people have asked for a tax abatement. Now, I know the difference from the pilot program. They're going to make one payment. That's all I know about a pilot program. But it seems to me like when you're talking multi-million dollar projects, they can pay a little bit more and be a fair share of their taxes. And that's what you're representing, the taxpayers of Sheboygan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify that the total annual rent is $283,000. The basis for the pilot is $226,000. That's the shelter rent number.
Right.
Right.
So that's what.
So that's it.
The
after
rent
it's all. Yeah. I was just going through that.
Calculated on.
Gross rent.
So it's more like.
Yeah.
Four.
So it's $20,000 difference. Yeah.
Right now. And we have been working on this for 14 months or so. It's not. We haven't been rushing this through. And the city and Hope Network has been working on this for quite a while. So,
can you this number, the 200? If you want to use the 266,
226.
Okay. Can you give me an idea where that number came from? It must be on an estimated rent.
Right. It's in the documents that was sent. That's the basis for the pilot.
It shows the math right on there, Councilman. The annual rent income of 283 is the beginning amount of the total annual revenue. And then we're subtracting vacancy loss, project paid fuel, common electricity, water, sewer.
Well,
and we're ending with the 226. That's what the pilot is.
Right, right. I understand that. But we're talking about the estimated monthly rent.
Well, if it goes off fair market rent, one bedroom for 2019 is $545, two bedroom $700, three bedroom $921. That's fair market, $2,900.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Thank you.
At the end of the day, it let's just still public. So I'll get into that later. Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. But.
So townhomes are 550, 660, and 80.
That's just the starting rent into them, correct? It was based on income.
And you have to update it. For 50%, 60%, 80%.
That's how that number was obtained.
Right.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the pilot program, does it?
It does.
It does, yes.
Yes, yeah.
It is part of that?
Yes, that establishes the amount of rent. And that will give the percentage. They're asking for 4% of that amount.
three points. Pilot already exists in this community and has been operating for how many years?
62
years. When Hope Network explored the opportunity to potentially build housing in our community, which is a need in communities throughout Michigan, they came to us and asked if they needed to help develop the language for a pilot program, which we did not need because it was already in effect. And so this is an aspect that's already been functioning quite comfortably for that many years without, right? So we have one already going on, folks, and it's working. The second point would be that Hope Network, as an organization, did not develop this concept. They did not mandate this concept. They are using MISHTA as their funding source to build community housing. This is a MISHTA-mandated requirement. So when you question the validity of a pilot in a community, you're questioning the functioning of a Michigan-run entity that is highly reputable and has their hands on every portion of this project. So there really needs to be this divide. This is not Nasty Hope Network coming in with their millions of dollars wanting to help our community. This is MISHTA saying, in order for you to submit this proposal, this is a requirement because we find validation in this aspect. So that's that. And the other point that I would make is that the numbers that are coming forth in this project were not created by MISHTA necessarily or by HOPE. They were driven by hard data that was conducted of our community over the last 14 months. So HOPE Network, under the guidance of MISHTA, looked at our census data. They looked at our population. They looked at the number and the discrepancies between the people who are making the most. And we've all seen these numbers in these graphs. Who's making below 20? Who's making between 20 and 30? Who's making above 100? Who's making above 500? Who's making what where? And they analyzed our community, and when they came back, under state guidelines, the need identified this project. Our own people who live in this city, whose numbers are published data through census, who work and live, and who are thriving or struggling or somewhere in between, created these numbers, folks. Hope didn't create these numbers. We did. This is what we have here.
Low income city.
They are simply reflecting on that. In this first phase, and that's what prohibited Hope from being able to do a different type of a house. They're building right now in St. Ignace, and they're building in Alpena. Different dynamic there. A building project they have going on in St. Ignace is actually multi-use. Three-story, ground level, stores, coffee shops, commercial rentals. And then they do a level of housing that's affordable. And then the higher you go, the more the rent is, right? Because their community's numbers support that kind. Mm-hmm. First step in our community, our numbers made this. It's not a fabrication, okay? And those are just really important points to consider when you're looking. So I understand that numbers can be overwhelming, but you're not going to figure out something that MISHTA doesn't already know tonight. So by analyzing a brief overview, you know, that those are, I'm following the bouncing ball, and, you know, don't chase it into the street, right?
So Ray asked what taxpayers would say if they found out that there's going to be some less income related to this project. I just looked up on Zillow, and the market value of my house is $14,000 more than it was when I bought it 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've added a garage. We've redone the entire interior of the house. We've taken off asbestos siding and put on wood, the original wood siding. Steve has literally touched every inch of that house. And we've gained $14,000 of value of that property. Why is that? Because we have abandoned parking lots in front of us, we have the abandoned co-op next to us, we have the abandoned or, you know, vandalized brick building behind us. Please do something to raise my property value so I can pay you more taxes. That would be fine with me. Please, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bored.
taxes. All right. Anyone else? If not, I'll close the public hearing and turn this over to council for discussion.
Nick, do you want to start us off?
No. I'm still processing. I'll start. I too would like to thank everybody. I think at this level of our democracy, this is the, or our government, this is the purest form of democracy there is. And we should be proud that we participate in this. We're fortunate to have it. Okay? And because we have that, we have open discussions. And because of freedom of speech, everybody can say what they want. But I want to tell you that sitting on this council, every member of this council is for the good of this community. Period. There's no hidden agendas. We have no agendas. We're trying to do what is good for the 4,200 people that we represent. And we would hope that everybody in this room, I'm pretty sure they probably do, is that what we want to. Okay? So let's do it together. You know, not this name calling back and forth and politically positioning yourself or whatever it might be. We have a good opportunity here, but we have to make sure it's the right one for everybody. So with that being said, I have questions from my constituents that would like to have answered and addressed. So in that spirit, representing them, we have concerns. And so take it in that sense. These are concerns. These aren't judgments or anything like that. These are just questions and concerns that the people of Sheboygan have in their desire to make it a good project. We have all the information. Not all the information. We don't have these numbers. These numbers of the project are what they're asking us to vote on or to address. And they're just general numbers that were being presented. They're estimated. I try to get a value here, and then they say, no, that's not the value. So there's a lot of questions involved here, a lot of concerns. And one I spoke about, you know, trying to find out the average rent. But one concern is the, of course, the amount of rent was a concern, but the deal that the application, this application, we asked a long time ago to see a copy of the application in general that we could review that, and I haven't seen one yet, but I suppose I could take the initiative to find it. I don't know what avenue that would be. But so I'm going to just make this as a general estimate. So you take $7 million and you're borrowing that. So as a business person, I would go and find the best deal. So they're chosen Mishta. So say it's a zero down payment. I mean, Mishta has low, they have all kinds of projects. Just estimate, just assume it's zero down. Unless maybe Hope's coming up with a few million dollars for a down payment to bring the cost down. It doesn't appear so. So, well, we'll say that Mishta's going to zero down payment, so it's a $7 million, roughly $7 million subject, concern. Let's go 4%. I asked Tom earlier what that percentage might be. He's not privy to that. I'm not either, so I'm going to estimate 4. You know, somewhere you maybe get 1.9, you may be able to get 5. You know, who knows? So, 30 years. Amortize that over 30 years, the life of the loan. Which would be, you know, probably a common, maybe go 45. I'm not sure. I'm not privy to that information yet. We don't know. So anyway, 30 years, 4%, monthly payment, $33,419. $33,419. Based on their projected rent, annual rent income, and I'm going to go with the 283 because that's a gross amount, divided by 12 would give you a cost of cost, or an income, excuse me, this will give you an income, a monthly income of $23,584. So that's a difference of almost $10,000 negative, as opposed to the amortization, $33,000, the estimated rent, $23,000. Can anybody explain that to me? How that works? Because I want that loan.
Right.
How does that work?
How do you pay it back?
Well, I don't know anybody that would borrow the money, would loan the money, if you don't have your $10,000, you don't have the income to make it.
I would agree.
So it's a big concern of the people I speak to. That, you know, how can they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have any answers? Anybody come to the table and say that now? I know public meeting is closed, but...
it's closed.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that, Michael. I mean, it's up to... I mean, it's Hope Networks initiative that's doing the financing.
And they figured it out.
I mean, are you following me? The numbers? These are the numbers that were presented to us.
I absolutely agree with you, but yeah, that's obviously...
Well, it may be that not all of it is loan. Some of it may be a federal grant.
Well, if it's a federal grant, then does the money, the $7 million come off that grant? Or the grant would come off the $7 million that we are...
And they haven't made the application yet until we do this part.
Well, I'm concerned that the application isn't going to go through and we aren't going to get our building because we won't be able to pay for it. But we want a project that's going to succeed. We want this project to succeed.
I think we're trusting that they've crunched these numbers because they've done these projects all over.
Yeah, but we're asking to, you know, make a decision on this.
Yeah.
And I have, unless I can see those, in good faith to the people of this city, how can I do that?
And I had a question, Tom. You said 9,000. That's the worst case. But also in those estimates, you had it as high as 78,000 as taxable.
Yes.
And that depends on the level of income for the people that are going into the housing. Correct.
It is, and you know, we had some conversation about 80% of these units that might be market rate rents.
Right.
But they can't be until the loan's paid off. So that $78,000 really can't happen.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that can happen is that 100% of these units are subsidized housing. They're not Section 8 housing. They're low to moderate income, affordable housing. So while that loan is in place, 100% of the units will be under a payment in lieu of taxes.
Okay.
That scenario would be with this tax base, would be if 80% of the units could be taxed on the ad valorem roll. But they can't because you can only rent these to qualified renters that meet the MSHTA income level requirements.
Right.
Someday, once the loan's paid off, this entire complex can go back on the ad valorem roll, and it can be taxed accordingly.
Right, so we don't know what the payoff is, 30 year, 40, 20, 15.
Right.
What I do know that I would assume that's going to be amortized on a 15-year process, you know, for itemized tax deductions.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, it's could be sold, and they start being... And that brings the question up, too, that the gentleman asked that this after the life of the loan, if, you know, they're asking us to, in lieu of taxes, the tax would be what you estimated as $185,000 over a 15-year period of time,
mm-hmm.
is a couple $1 million there. What, you know, exact number?
Right. Sure.
Maybe two. Yeah, close to two. That is that's quite a chunk. So when they start making profit, which anybody, I mean, anybody has had rental units, there's going to be a profit at one time. Once they pay this off, say they're taking a loan, when they pay the loan off, then it will be profit. what, how does it work? You know, how, and then they could sell it if they, and most complexes like this, or they would have it for 15 years, take their deduction, take their depreciation, and then they would sell it because the partners or the owners would take it, they don't want the profit. Mm-hmm. They'd take the money and invest it elsewhere. So these are questions that I just, you know, how's that process work? Or if they're going to make it when it is paid off, in lieu of taxes, is there? I mean, I'm just trying to make a deal, best deal for the people.
Sure,
but
think that's our duty to figure out.
Well, it is, and we have to put the numbers here. If the numbers, like I'm saying, they're $10,000 below, then.
But we don't look at a business plan for any business that comes before us.
Right. Well, this is public. This is public.
I know, but you're checking all of these factors to them that they have done before and numbers. And we don't question everybody, what's your loan rate? How much are you paying? Can you make the payments on your house when we have them before us to ask them questions?
I agree with Mark. I think that you're diving a little deeper than normal. Yeah. However, on the flip side of that, this is a payment in lieu of taxes program, so we're not collecting. The city taxpayers are not going to take the benefit of the taxes, the tax revenue increase. So these questions are valid questions of what we're trying to figure out, to what happens at the end of the loan maturity or at a time of sale when this goes on. Is there a way that the taxpayers could, what he's asked, is there a way that we can set this up so that we could be, let me just use the word reimbursed, or made in a better deal. I know when the loan is paid off, it goes back on the roll. That's when we see that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all of those years, is there some sort of mechanism that can refund that? That, to me, is a valid question. However, it's not my concern. At this point, what we have in front of us is, my opinion is, we have to make a decision first and foremost. Is this a need for our community? And I personally, I feel like it is. MISHTA and Hope Network and everybody that's been involved has found out that this is a need. They've done the research. This is what, they wouldn't have this project in front of us if it wasn't a need. Secondly, we have to look at, to me, which is still a double-edged sword I'll get to, is that are we willing to subsidize this as a city? Are the taxpayers, are we willing to make a decision to let the taxpayers subsidize some of this because we're not going to get these taxes? I realize we don't get taxes right now. So the $9,000 or $10,000 that we would get is still an increase. However, it's a project that's going in that the people who own businesses, who have put businesses up for the last however many years, they're paying full price for their taxes. Mr. Rosnowski's paying, he doesn't have a pilot program that lets him make a profit on top of that. It's the same thing with government-assisted programs that we've used in the past, most recently, that people are getting a break and not having to pay taxes, and it's not helping all of us who live in the city limits who are footing the bill for all of the operational and all of the moving forward. The other side of the coin is that these would never happen without these tax incentives, tax breaks. These things would never happen unless major investors came in that had the availability of the to float that investment up front. At the end of the day, are we willing to take a risk or even subsidize for growth? We want to make this place better so that at the end game, we talked with Tom about this, the end game, we want more people to move here, build, buy, invest in the city limits. This is not going to help do that directly with money. Will it help indirectly? Is the question that you have to answer in your own mind when you make a decision like this. That's where it's hard to do that. I think there is a cost to the city for this project to come in. If we only get $10,000 in taxes, I do believe that indirectly, the city taxpayers will spend more on police services, fire services, and all that stuff. I'm not saying that I'm against it, because the same thing was the question with the Meyer project. It's going to, if Meyer came in and we do everything the best case scenario for the city loses money in that situation. there are a lot of ways that I can explain why, but let's just go at the end of the day, taxpayers are going to have to fund that at some level. But we agreed as a council at that time, as committee members, staff members all agreed that it's for growth. It's not in the city limit necessarily. We're not going to benefit directly. We're going to end up being a net loss, but that might grow us for the future. I'm for this project, but the question marks that everybody has raised, all of the intent and negative questions that have come up are valid. They're valid questions that are being asked. And it's the information that we were presented for as council. I know that you said that the city has been involved for 14 months. The council has been involved for 14 weeks. That's all that we know. At whoever's fault that is, I'm not pointing at anybody at fault, that we started digesting this information not long ago. And I realized there was a process before it had to come to council. Tom doesn't bring something to council that's not a reality yet. Now it's a reality. I get that. So now we're trying to digest this stuff. Do we need to go as deep as Mr. O'Brien is? In my opinion, we don't. To buy that. But I'm with you. I understand your validity of these questions. At the end of the day, the decision to me is this something that I'm willing to take an indirect loss on if that's what happens in order to provide what our city has been driven to need? The need drives this. So at the end of the day, there's still a lot of question marks on all of the valid questions. But I think that there is a need for this at the end of the day, and I don't think there's any way to put it together. A private investor isn't going to be able to afford this in order to do it without a payment in lieu of taxes or a governmental incentive program. So the double-edged sword for me on all of those. A couple projects on Main Street were the same thing. Boy, do we need to give a tax break for that amount of time to create a beautiful building or create jobs? The answer we came up with that at that point was yes.
And Tom, you had said that they're paying regular water rates on this. So
water sewer rates, yes.
Yeah, we're going to see a big influx of money.
Some revenue
to
there.
The water and sewer.
Sure, well, absolutely.
Doesn't directly help our general budget, but that budget's going to see some increase.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they had estimated, 9,300, right, for water? I thought that's what I heard.
Annually? It's more than 18,000, I think.
It was 18, okay.
Yeah. Water and sewer, $18,600.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's, we're going to lose 4% on that because they're taking that off the...
I didn't think the water, though.
That's his water. Yeah, 18,000. Yeah. We'll lose 4%.
We're also
4% or whatever percent we agree upon. Yeah.
Yes, and because of the size of this project with 40 units, there's going to be some significant tap-in fees and rates to tie into the water and sewer system, which is all part of the $7 million cost of the project.
Right. The same resolution that we had. When we did, what are the two that happened on Main Street? That not the buildings, but what's the acts? 251 that we did, the rehabilitation acts and stuff that get a frozen,
yes,
a tax abatement for a frozen
tax
period
abatement
of time.
Yeah,
okay.
Those are commercial rehabilitation act.
The double-edged sword is, that's what I keep reverting to, and we're setting a precedence by doing that, by doing this. We're continuing down this path to where we're going to give tax relief to promote growth. But somewhere down the line, this has to pay off in an increase in tax revenue for the city of Sheboygan. It has to. It's hard to project that, and it's hard to show that this is... We're going backwards by doing these things, in my opinion. But for the time being, we're trying to promote 5-10 years out. I get that. It's very difficult because we're struggling budget-wise for a lot of different angles on this. We're going the wrong direction, and you see an opportunity like this of a great investment to come into Sheboygan, and then we see no tax increase from a big thing like this. Hopefully that the indirect cost, the indirect impact is going to be positive enough to where...
Right. We're kind of rolling the dice to say that property values are going to go up, that our housing situation is going to improve, market values are going to improve, that people will want to move here because they'll have places to move, they'll have houses to buy. People will want to invest here because they see more people living here. We're kind of hoping that this is going to, you know, send that trickle down the hill and keep on going and snowballing. And
yeah. We want it. We want it to go. We want
right.
to do it. We want
right.
to do it the right way.
Right.
Mr. Kuchar, I appreciate your comments, but I still have some more numbers. And I just want to get them public. But the total construction costs, $7 million, these are numbers that we see from Utah, $7,081,465. And, you know, some of the people I communicate with or associate with, they say, well, how much is that per unit? Mm-hmm. Any business people, they're going to say, well, how much is that per unit?
Sure.
And they said, how many units is it? And I said, 40 units.
Sorry.
And I go, oh, my God, you know, what 40 units? So so I just, you know, just easy, simple arithmetic. I'm not one of those, you know, arithmetic guys. Divide 40 into that 7 million, and you come out with $177,036 per unit. Just
yeah.
on the, so I said, well, wow. You know, I tried to get a number on the average cost of a unit in Sheboygan County, and I couldn't find that, so I popped up a national one. The national average of the United States of America is 46,000 to 84.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another question.
Yeah.
I do think
why
good,
is it so
good
expensive?
Question.
I do think this kind of speaks to what was mentioned before about this being a quality project and quality housing, because we do have housing that's, you know, similar in terms of being low income, but is significantly lower quality, and that definitely impacts the quality of life of the people who live there and around there, you know, within a pretty significant radius. I'm not just talking next door neighbors. I think y'all get the gist of what I'm talking about.
Yes,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
So from a straight, you know, for-profit business standpoint, it doesn't make sense, but I think we're talking about a different animal here. We're talking nonprofit, we're talking low-income housing, and we're talking about raising the bar from what we have currently, and I think that's significant. Not to diminish your point, but I think that that's part of the point of the discrepancy, is that we're trying to raise the bar.
Yeah, but I'm just talking from a construction point of view. I appreciate that, I understand that.
Yeah.
But for $177,000, you know, per, say just the, and that includes the one bedroom in the townhouses, and I know there's, when you deal with MISHTA does it right.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I'm behind this, because if MISHTA is doing it, you know, I've had neighbors that work for MISHTA, and they just, you know, we've talked discussions, and they have an excellent, excellent program. They do have an audited program, so we'll be on top of this, and I trust that, you know, their process is a good quality process, and they stick with these projects, you know, through the fruition of the program, and they keep right on the place windows if they're cracked, if they need, the refrigerators are not proper, they pull them out and make and replace the whole refrigeration system. So there, I'm with all that.
Yeah.
However, the cost is just, I do know, and speaking to these people, they're retired since, but they were shocked at the cost.
I'm just
passing it on. I mean, these are things that we have to think about.
I don't know if that would make up for the cost that you're looking for, but you also got to think they're making parking lots, landscaping, things like that. That's not cheap. Yeah.
Well,
you know, that would make up for some of that.
Well, I assume that the national average would be included in that.
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't think so. That would just be for the building.
No. Okay, so this isn't per unit. This is for the whole complex.
Right. I would assume, yeah. That's
yeah,
$7 million.
That's
for the whole landscaping, everything. Yeah.
And that's also, I'm assuming, going to include tearing down the co-op building. I don't know what the cost is there.
Well, I don't know what the difference is. We don't know. We're assuming.
Yes.
We're diving a little deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll put that. But I'm just throwing it.
I wanted to make a point here, and sort of what Nick was saying, that this is an investment in our community. And we have a history of making, sort of restricting what we could take in as tax revenue, and we do it to over $100,000 a year through our Downtown Development Authority. We say they can capture that money because we believe it's worth the investment in our community. That could be money that comes into our general fund every year. So I think, and I'm looking, this is the same kind of project. This is an investment in our community, and that we take the tax loss.
That's hopefully a short-term loss. I think that's kind of what we're all thinking, but yeah.
Then that brings to the next issue would be, you know, they're asking for 4%. There's other communities, particularly Grayling, that you gave us the information, and I'm very appreciative. Mm-hmm. There's a few of them that are at 8.5% or 10%. They have an annual service charge that increases the percentage, and they have a time limitation. Mm-hmm. They have a time limitation, not the complete term of the loan, but there's a couple in there that I think were 15. I read it real quick because I didn't get it until this evening. But there are a couple in there up there 15 years.
Some of those were private investments.
Yeah. Well, but yet they're still under the pilot program.
Yeah, they are, but I think you treat a private investment differently than you do a federally funded one.
Why is that?
Because you can make a deal with them. With this, I think they're saying these are the rates you need to make your grant.
Has anybody negotiated that 4% in this process?
I don't know in this process, but I think some of those examples you showed were private investors were building in the city, agreed to a pilot with a private business. And that's why they could set the different
rates. Okay, were there any federal programs in there?
In that scenario,
I don't think they identified as federal or private. Yeah. Did they?
No, but there were Michigan.
But anyway, that number is negotiable. I mean, it was apparently with Grayling.
The percentage is negotiable.
It is negotiable.
Yeah, the loan, this particular loan that Hope Networks is getting through MISHDA, is a 50-year max, or the time that the loan is paid off. I mean, as long as the loan is in place, they have to, the entire housing complex is under subsidized housing.
What do we think?
So you can't, in this case, with this loan, they can't say, well, in 15 years, the pilot's going to go away. Because if the loan's in place, the pilot has to be in place.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the MISHDA requirements. But they just said that we have apply for a pilot. The term that I read was apply for the pilot. So Hope is applying for the pilot or Sheboygan One. And so we're, what effect would it have if we did go 8%? How would that jeopardize our application to win the project?
There would be no application.
Right, and just to give you a little peace of mind, to be honest with you, if we did 8%, our total annual tax is double and we get 18 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not.
Right.
Well, it might help turn the lights on somewhere.
Wow. You're right.
That's what I mean. What effect is it going to have on that? You know?
Right, and it doesn't sound like that the application is an application anymore. This is the application.
Yeah.
This 4% is part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm with you. There.
I don't have the answer. That's good for you. So I can tell somebody.
You know, the 4%, you know, I did challenge that because we do have a pilot with Lighthouse Apartments, and it is different. That pilot has a segregated increase over the years. It started at 2%. And they added 0.25% every year. It's now at 8%. So that was a segregated pilot. But in the pro forma in our rent in our local rent rates that Hope Networks looked at, they couldn't make this project work anything higher than 4%. The maximum you can get in the pilot is 10%, but in this low to moderate income community and our median income, they couldn't make the loan work unless they got a 4% pilot.
Which is crazy. Which is crazy that we're talking $10,000 is the cutoff on whether you can do, I mean, that's the only difference. Go from 4% to 6% is another $3,000 that they would have to pay the city in
in lieu of taxes, and that's a cutoff. I mean, we're cutting it pretty close. I mean, it's more validity to that question. So at the end of the day, go ahead.
I'm sorry, can I?
Yeah, please interject. Tell me where.
Food Network is willing to amend to 8%.
Pardon me?
If it's a deal killer,
right?
She's willing to amend it to 8%. And we'll figure it out.
Okay, that's great. So we can, pick up a few more. It's not going to affect that.
Getting shot. Purdue is going to still apply for the project and negotiate the rate in order to come to our community instead of packing up and going to 50 other people in line to get housing in Michigan.
It affects the possibility of them to be awarded the grant.
Yes.
It lessens our ability to be competitive in the granting process. So we negotiate higher. And it increases the risk for another community to be awarded in round one with MSHA October 1st submission. So those are the dice.
Mr. Mayor, are you opening this back up to public?
No, I'm not.
Because I've got... Okay, thank you.
So, thank you.
Well, that there's an important point there. They're going to score better with a lower pilot percentage as well in the application.
It's really confusing because it says that we can charge up to, but not including the actual... tax value, 100%. Isn't that correct?
Say that again.
On the pilot number, we only have up to 10% here.
Yes.
Yeah, 10%.
That's by
so,
law.
But it does. We can go up to 100% of the actual taxable value.
No.
No.
Only
10%.
Well, not. 10% is the max, I thought?
10%
is the max. I thought I had 100 in there. I'm just asking a question.
Just use the pilot program. 10% is the max.
10% is the max.
That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's the maximum you can levy on the rent roll.
Okay, so that makes sense. So the average...
I'm going to move this along.
Thank you.
I think we've sort of beat it for a while here. Unless we have something else that everybody wants to interject here, I'd like to move this on to a council recommendation.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the ordinance to provide payment in lieu of taxes as presented in item 70.
Isn't that percentage in there?
As presented.
In the ordinance as presented, which is 4%.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Motion by Johnston, seconded by Kirkuski, to adopt the ordinance as presented. Please call the roll.
O'Brien?
Yes.
Kirkuski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
All right.
Very good.
Please don't be upset at your elected officials asking questions.
No, it's good.
Please don't be upset about that. I hear a lot of, come on, moving on. These are questions.
We still don't have all the information.
Exactly. I mean, this is something like this we got 14 weeks ago, roughly. So this is a lot to digest, and it's a big decision for our kids.
I guess what I want to know, Tom, if this thing's been going on for 14 months, why did we just hear about this 14 weeks ago?
A lot of it was preliminary. I mean, they were looking for properties. There were a lot of steps to go on until finally we heard about it when an actual plan was put together.
Yep,
absolutely.
We didn't
know
where it was going to be, whether the property was available, even if Sheboygan was going to be selected as one of the cities that they wanted to invest in. So
it would have probably been a good idea if we had a special meeting, full council, and just focused on this for a couple hours, as we got all the information. It's just not how it went as far as that goes. So it's on all of us at that point to make that a priority in the future.
We had some preliminary presentations early on through the DDA and through the Planning Commission.
I agree with it because then there was the timing. We had this Friday. So how do we, where are we going to get the answers to these questions? And a lot of the questions are still unanswered.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I agree.
But for the benefit of the program, we have to
Let's move on to bills and disbursements. Prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of August 2019. Any questions?
Number 19, Bridget, the
creation station?
Yeah, the facade program. Is that for a program that's already been approved, like the facade that they want to do has already been approved and the grant comes after that? I'm just not familiar.
Yeah, that's for work that was already completed. So they submit a payment request to the NLEA. The NLEA is a grant administrator, so you'll see they get an $1,800 payment. The money comes straight from the state of Michigan, and then I just split it out between the two entities.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Make the motion to approve prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of August.
Supported.
Motion by Mallory, supported by O'Brien. Please call roll.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
O'Brien?
Yes.
And unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of August 2019.
17, I just have a question. Is that total the repair, or is that just the first bill?
No, that should be the total of the repairs, but we haven't paid for the duct work yet, which is coming from Johnny
Green. That's Green, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless you've added something onto the fix.
Nope.
Is it finished now, or?
The roof is finished. The ductwork, we still have some blockage inside the wall that they're still working on.
What about the wall over the doors? What are you going to do there?
We're still looking at a couple options there. We're trying to get a power wash. We're going to clean it up, and then we're going to make a determination of.
Does anybody have a power wash and want to volunteer to do that?
We have somebody that's going
to do it.
The leak, it doesn't leak anymore. Is that what we're saying?
It has not leaked, and we've had some significant rains.
Yes.
So, yes, we have not had any leaks. But, yeah, we're likely going to finish that, possibly with a cement board. We have to have some type of awning over the door entry to the City Hall because we have an ice issue coming off that flat roof. So we're going to have some type of a solid awning there.
Make a motion to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of August 2019.
Second.
Motion by Mallory, second by Kuchar to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements. Please vote.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
O'Brien?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
All right. Department boards and commission reports. Looks like we have one from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I just thought there are minutes there. Just want to make a comment about the two trails that basically just recently opened. We had ribbon cuttings on our 130th birthday on August 24th, Saturday, at the Little Traverse Conservancy. There's a new trail off of Duncan Avenue. It's nearly a mile that comes off of Duncan Avenue to Lake Huron. It's predominantly boardwalk. There are some areas that are just like two-track and dirt that you need to walk on, but there's a nearly a mile pathway through there, and then there's an observation deck when you get to Lake Huron. You're looking right at the Mackinac Bridge, Mackinac Island, and you can see the lighthouses. And yeah. It's really a neat thing. We had some volunteers. It was all voluntarily done. They fundraised. The Conservancy fundraised for the materials, but Connie and Dale Rieger were very instrumental in putting that together. And it was not an easy project. It was. And also, Connie and Dale Rieger built a walking path through Major City Park, which, if you haven't been on it, it's a really neat little walking path by the baseball fields. They have a storybook stations all the way through. There are six storybook stations where your children can read a book as they go through the pathway. It's kind of a neat addition. And Connie and Dale Rieger, again, just basically blazed that trail themselves. It's just amazing what they did.
How many trees did he cut?
Oh,
hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, there was multiple dead ash trees that were in there. They had to cut and exterminate poison ivy and.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pull my kids on a wagon through there before I was. He couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah. You can do it now.
There's still more to do on that trail too.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's really the
volunteer helping.
That whole process is about a 5-year project. We're not done. We're just in the early stages of how we're going to develop that whole area. So those are real positive things that happened there here late in August.
Great.
That's all I have there.
All right, nothing under general business. City clerks and treasurer's comments.
I just have the revenue and expense report for August, and that's all I have for you tonight.
And everything's set for the election. We had a committee meeting to
combine the precincts.
Combine precincts.
Right, so that'll help us save money at the special election in November. Typically, we have 3 precincts set up, which means we have to have 3 sets of workers and 3 ballot boxes by combining the precincts, which we're allowed to do because we're under 5,000 for the population in the city. We can combine all those, and we can drastically reduce our expenses.
Can we do that for every election, though?
No.
Just this special?
Just this one. Only because it's not a federal or state election.
I didn't know. That's mm-hmm. Like, wow, that's
right.
Yep.
Works for me.
Yeah, you're not cheap to run anymore.
No, it won't be.
All right, Tom, city manager's report.
I'll address the question regarding the Lincoln Avenue Bridge. We are contracting with Rowe Engineering to basically engineer and do the entire process of the repainting of the Lincoln Avenue Bridge as far as requests for proposals. And that sort of thing, and they should have those out yet in September, but it is a spring project that we're targeting to get that done by the time we get the proposals back. We aren't going to be able to do it yet this fall. So in fact, it's approaching a time where it's going to be difficult to paint anyway right now. So that is a spring project we're looking at, and we're going to see how the bids come in. Their estimates are anywhere from 80,000 to 200,000. It's going to be something that's, you know, and we'll have to determine if they do come in extremely high, we may have to do something else other than paint it.
And these bids are based on the process we had discussed earlier that should last longer than our existing.
Yes, yeah. Rowe Engineering has all the original specs, so we're going to paint everything that has been painted in the past, all of the, including the blue railings, which we're going to have professionally done. We could paint those ourselves, but we're going to have the entire bridge professionally done. That's what the request for proposal is going to be. But if it's not economically sensible to do it, then maybe we'll do something else.
Should left the old one up there.
Yeah, we'll put a ferry in.
Yeah.
And we did without one for years.
The other thing, we're going to have F Street and 6th Street are going to be closed. They're closed right now through Friday. A Street and B Street will have one lane open until the weekend. Getting close. This is for the 6th Street sewer project, so we're getting real close to that being completed. Won't be paved. We'll gravel it. We won't pave until the Center Street project is done, so we can pave both of those projects all at the same time. And then West 1st Street will be closed starting tomorrow through Friday. We hope to get it open by the weekend for the culvert bridge change across Smith Creek. That'll start tomorrow, and we should have it done by Friday and have that street open for the weekend. It's been a project we've been waiting for a long time, so we're going to get that done.
Center Street, you know they're going to start on that?
Probably soon. We've had a couple issues with our USDA loan, so we're looking at a different avenue to fund it, but we have the monies to do the Center Street project, so we're contemplating starting that first, and then we're going to try to find a funding source to pay for the rest of the project, and that funding source will likely be a DEQ or Eagle loan. We had some issues with our USDA funding source. But we have the money to do the project. We just need to get a loan to pay it back to the general fund. So they have all the materials ordered, so it should be, if not late this week, it'd be early next week. We should be able to start at least the Center Street side of it. And that's all I have.
All right. Committee updates. Your committee today?
Yeah. We continue discussion about things in the organizational analysis. Tom's working on some job descriptions. We think it's going to be pertinent that we're getting to the point where we need to have a discussion with the whole council on potential positions to put out for hiring, as we're going to have some retirees in the future. So I think it would be pertinent to have like at one of our meetings have a closed session so that the whole council can discuss that stuff, which is one of the ways you can go into closed session with hiring or indoor firing, I think. So I think that if Tom would check with legal to make sure that that's something, just to be sure that we could do that, I think we should probably put that on an agenda very soon to start discussing. We want to have full council. We have a pretty good idea. Tom has a pretty good idea of what he wants to do, but it's time to have full council input as far as that goes.
Yeah.
If that, anything on the right?
Nope.
We're pretty close for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
We're ready.
So is that something that we want to do? Have a recommendation for at the next meeting? I think we talked about.
Yeah, I think if we can and likely can go into closed session.
Yeah.
Probably the earliest we do is the first meeting in October.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the hope. That's what he's going to try and plan to do. Have that put on the agenda.
Okay. Very good.
We might even be able to meet early. Can we meet early like we would instead of our organizational? Or is that not?
I think you have to leave the regular meeting.
Yeah.
Got it. Sorry.
Otherwise, it'd have to be a special meeting. It's not at the regular scheduled time. It'd have to be a special meeting.
So we can conduct our business, our regular business, and then go into closed session.
Yes.
Bring two coffees then.
Yep.
Yeah. Better bring a coffee.
It's right over there.
No. Okay. All right. Did you want to report on the DEA?
Sure. We had our meeting to decide. We had basically three points they wanted us to narrow down to what we were going to focus on. It was family-friendly arts and entertainment, local food and flavors, or outdoor recreation. And we said, well, can't we just do all of them? They all sound great. And they said, no, you have to do one or you're out, basically, is kind of, you know. They said, this is the program, you have to focus on one thing. That's the way it works. So we ended up choosing, you know, it was a very hard choice. We had a lot of discussion, but we chose family-friendly arts and entertainment with a focus on the river. That was really what everybody was kind of like, you know, what do we want to focus on? And I mean, because we could have picked really any one of those things and possibly, because we have to narrow it down even more at this point, and we could have ended up on the same thing, something on the river. We want to work on the river. You know, that's kind of where everybody was pretty much, what I felt everyone was pretty much looking at. So,
yeah. And it was a very close vote.
Yes. Yes.
6 to 5.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I really think everyone was pretty much in the same boat.
Well, at the end of it, everyone said, okay, this is the decision, so everybody's going to do it.
Yes.
This. And that's what this committee is telling us, is that focus on one thing, we'll get you through this process. It's basically, we'll teach you how to do this with this focus.
Yeah.
When we're done, then you can go on to these other ones.
Yeah, for the next, I think it was 3 to 5 years,
yeah.
then we're going to focus on that. Family-friendly arts and entertainment with kind of a focus on the river. Yeah, it's basically the word. And so we got to narrow down even more, and that's where we're going next time around. Yeah.
And that pretty much took the whole meeting. Didn't it?
Yes, and some of the last.
Yeah. And Mike, you want to report on our meeting?
Yes, we are in the process of developing a committee and to address the concerns that we're going to have regarding medical marijuana and recreational marijuana facilities. I've spoken to the sheriff and the chief and the prosecuting attorneys, currently putting together a packet. It seems to be ever-changing from the attorney general's office as to what the process is going to be. So we're starting it. We're starting to get, so we're on top of it. And that decision, we have to make some type of decision before December 6th. So,
or they make it for us.
On the recreation.
On recreation.
Yeah. The recreational is the one that's changing. The medical is pretty important.
Set that, yeah.
Now, and so we met, Mike and I, we met yesterday. Tom, you've set up something for Monday night.
5 o'clock, September 16th. I didn't tell you that, did I, Mike?
Did I get that message?
Probably not. We were going to ask you tonight.
Is that for that committee?
Committee, yes. Okay. We have two members of the Planning Commission. Okay. City Attorney Stephen Lindsay will be there, Michael, and the mayor from the council.
And Michael's been trying to set up a time to meet with the sheriff and the police chief.
And we also want to bring in somebody that is currently have in this business. And we're not sure if it's going to be Red Bud has made an application or has requested to, you know, what is our possibility. So we want to bring in all entities so we have a good general idea of what we're dealing with and have.
Sure.
Have everybody put their input in like we're supposed to do and have it well thought out decision.
Right. So it might be two plans, one for medical, one for recreational, or two recommendations.
Yeah. I suppose it's going to have to be, yeah. They're separate fields. It's going to be an interesting process because there's you know, the fact that the federal doesn't have it, and the state does, and then but the information that the Attorney General and are putting out will probably give us a better update. And that should be happening here this next week. And then the sheriff and chief wants to have, you know, sit down with the prosecutor and get that those involved in it too. So
that'd be good.
We'll try to cover every avenue.
Great, thank you. All right, message and communications from mayor and council members. I'll start with you, Mike. Nothing better. Okay. Right. Nick?
Marina and property appraisal.
That's going on right now. Tony Piazza was here late last week, gathering the data information. I would think he's probably not going to present that until about the third week of September, he said.
Okay.
The appraisal.
Thanks.
We're still eligible for that grant you talked about, though.
Potentially.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we are, potentially, yeah.
Okay, right.
It's, yep.
Yeah, I want to bring up the K-Mart and those rocks up by the Lincoln Avenue Bridge that Ray did. Mm-hmm. Tom, can you get a hold of somebody that has that K-Mart building? It looks terrible. And them rocks up there should have been taken care of a long time ago.
Yeah, we typically do that with community service people, but apparently they haven't done that this year.
Mm-hmm. If the community service isn't available, can we have the Parks and Rec do that?
Yes. Yep, I'll get with Scott in the morning, and we should have it regularly scheduled. I don't know that. It is kind of a difficult thing to get to, but it should be on his regular schedule. So I'll get with Scott in the morning.
And the old Sheboygan Hardware, have you ever found out when they're going to start making that look a little decent?
Yeah, they're working inside right now. And that, you know, the original plan was to get the outside done so they could work on the inside for the winter. But they're trying to secure the floor, the main floor right now. And they're waiting for an Army Corps of Engineers permit on the seawall. Their plan is to continue to work right through the winter and get that done and be open now, probably summer or spring. But,
I'm concerned with the outside. It's right there. People see it when they go by. It's the main thoroughfare in the town. And you stop at the way at the bridge, you're looking at that ugly building.
Yeah. It is a blighted building.
It's come.
Christmas is almost here.
Stop it. It's enough. Big Christmas.
Can you send a list to you?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anything else, Juan?
No, that's it.
All right, Sarah.
I'm awesome.
All right. A couple things I was just going to mention on reporting blight. When citizens ask me, I say, call us. Sheriff's Department, or I mean the police department, and give them an address and say what the issue is. And I've had great response from the chief and his crew when I point out something specific for them to address. And so don't be worried about tattling on your neighbors. Sometimes they need it.
Mm-hmm. Is that committee still active, though?
The committee is working on something, that ordinance on
the rental.
Rental.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping we would have been able to discuss by this point. Can we have another meeting in the next couple weeks, Tom? We need to establish a regular meeting schedule.
We can do that.
Can non-residents...
That's up to you, Chief.
Our committee meeting it's not a public meeting.
No, it was can non-residents make the report?
Oh.
Was the question.
I don't think anybody will ask you if you live in the city. Yeah. I'm
try it.
Yeah.
Please try it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it out there first.
Okay.
I don't live here, but.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Just report it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear people tell me, and unless I go and report it, then nothing gets done. And so I say, you need to call. And they will, when you have a call in, they have to do a report, they have to follow up. And you had asked about auto stores.
Yes.
This community, we do not put restrictions on the number of businesses or types of businesses. Some communities might, or like the height.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to build a business here and thinks they can make money, they're able, they can come and try.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like O'Reilly's is going to come. I don't think they're going to get the space they need. I don't know. I'm just... But and one thing that was pointed out to me, that's not just cars they service, it's all the marine fleet, too.
All the dealers.
And we have a lot of car dealers in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure they crunch the numbers on that.
Mm-hmm. And we welcome the influx of tax base.
As long as they pay their taxes.
As true.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So, sorry.
I'm ready.